Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help members of the military community thrive in their civilian career. Today's episode number 360, CBS's Tough as Nails with Kelly Murph Murphy.
And I know that I would have kicked myself in the butt if I wouldn't have done this show, because if I would have said no, and then when I saw it on TV, I'd have been like, oh man, look at the opportunity you just wasted. So I guess my biggest takeaway would be, with anything in life, if you have the opportunity to do something, even if you're not comfortable with it, give it a shot, because you never know. Like I was never looking to do a reality show. I was never looking to be on TV, but once the opportunity to present itself, and I learned a little bit about it, I'm gonna give it a shot.
Well, I just got done talking with Murph, and it's just such a great conversation, and I wanted to just bookmark a couple of things that we talk about in this interview, because we cover quite a bit of ground. The first of all, I love Murph's thinking around expanding your thinking about what you're going to do in your career, and in his own story and advice that he received along the way. He ended up doing things that he didn't initially plan when he got out of the military, out of the Marine Corps after 22 years of service. And it came from a conversation about expanding his thinking. He has great advice around never stopping your pursuit of your career. And there's stories you'll hear about when he kind of backed off or thought he had a job and then it fell through. And I think it's great advice for both career hiring as well as sales. He works over at the University of Central Missouri and as their Director of Military and Veteran Services, so he does have some great thoughts from his experience there of helping a lot of veterans. We talk about the value of education that keeps on coming up again and again in Murph's story, is the value that education has been to him, to his Marines, to his students, and whether that's after 20 years of service or after 3 years of service, expanding one's horizons through education. We talk about the TV show that he's on called Tough as Nails and what it's like to be on a reality TV show. And even though Murph is a giant of a man, he's a very gentle giant and very introverted. And so he talks about what that experience was like being on the set and what it was like and how that opportunity came about. And then I love, he talks about a diploma being a certification of dedication. I'd never heard that before, but he talks about how rarely one's degree directly relates to what one does in their career, but it is beneficial for other reasons. We talk about Instagram and putting oneself out there. We talk about how his dream job was in the Marine Corps and a lot more. And so I think you'll really enjoy this show. And check out the show notes. We've got a lot of links from today's episode. And check out CBS's Tough as Nails with him. It'll be launching shortly after this podcast goes live. I want to give a special thanks, because the only reason we were able to record today's brand new episode is thanks to a sponsorship, financial sponsorship, from the Carlson School of Management. And really can't express enough gratitude for how much I enjoy doing new episodes and how many people that benefits. And at this point, we're only really able to do that through financial sponsorship. So I wanted to share more about an organization that is putting their money where their mouth is and helping Beyond the Uniform continue our operations. So whether you're transitioning to a civilian career or continuing military service, an MBA from Carlson at the University of Minnesota prepares you for a high-impact career in business. Carlson is committed to the veteran community and provides the benefits, experiential learning, and network to accelerate your career. In addition to a resident tuition waiver, all admitted full-time MBA military candidates receive generous scholarships and stipends to cover expenses that may not be eligible for the GI Bill. You can learn more in the show notes for this episode at beyonduniform.org, or you can email MBA, actually let's see if I can remember this, Mike Bravo Alpha at uniformmikenovember.org. .edu. That's MBA at UMN.edu to learn more. Thank you. And with that, let's dive in to today's conversation with Murph.
Dive.
Well, joining me today in Warrensburg, Missouri, my guest is Kelly Murph Murphy. Murph, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
For listeners, I want to give you some background on Murph. He is the Director of Military and Veteran Services at the University of Central Missouri. He is also a competitor on CBS's new show, Tough as Nails. Tough as Nails is a competition series that celebrates everyday Americans who roll up their sleeves and don't think twice about working long, hard hours and getting their hands dirty in order to keep their country running. On the show, competitors compete in challenges that take place at real-world job sites. Murph served in the Marine Corps for 22 years, and since his military service, he's worked as an adjunct faculty member at Central Texas College, at Columbia College, and also he worked at Lowe's in as a human resource and training manager. So, Murph, maybe to start off, anything to add to or amend to that bio?
I would say that, so I was adjunct faculty actually when I was on active duty. So I taught for Columbia College and Central Texas while I was on active duty. So it was a little different. Well, and I taught overseas on aboard a ship as like a faculty. Well, I guess the best way to describe it. So when I was with with 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, I worked with Central Texas. And I was allowed to conduct class aboard the USS Dubuque while we were at sea. So we had some Marines and some sailors on the ship take college classes, and I facilitated the college class for Central Texas. Then once I finished my master's degree, then I was able to become full adjunct faculty, and I taught at Fort Leonard Wood in the evening time for night classes for mostly adult learners that were trying to finish their education.
Was that, I love that you were doing that on active duty. I'm curious, was that, were you planning ahead and thought like, I might do this for a career, I want to build this up? Was it for fun? Was it making some side income, or what was driving that?
It was a little bit of both. I had a tour in the Marine Corps as an instructor on for my MOS, and I enjoyed teaching. And then once I finished my master's degree, I thought, well, I'll do some college stuff to see how I like it. So I taught for those two universities. It was some good side money, but at the same time, it was also a chance to see if working in higher education is something I would enjoy once I retired. And then my route kind of took me a little bit different to the HR side. But it was a good opportunity to kind of teach again, because it had been a while since I taught for the Marine Corps as an instructor. But it was good to have those skills and kind of use those skills again. And instructing is pretty neat, because it's sometimes you get the student that just doesn't get it, and then you just change the way you say something or change a word around, and you just see the light bulb go off and you're like, wow, I did that, you know. The words that I use actually help that person comprehend. So that's a pretty good feeling when you can help somebody like gain knowledge. And it was your tools from your toolbox that you used to help that person.
I think it's great for, first of all, for listeners who are on active duty to see that example of just, you know, using your nights and weekends to build up this skill set and taking proactive steps to get ready for what you might do after the transition. But I also love that. I've always had a lot of respect for educators and that skill set of being able to find the right way to explain something. And it's, I just imagine it as the Olympics of juggling, of having to take a concept and try in different ways to present it to a wide spectrum of learning styles. And so it's great that you get that fulfillment from what you're doing.
Yeah, it's, college was something I never thought I would do. In high school, the reason I joined the Marine Corps, I was 17. It was my senior year, it was February my senior year, and I'm in English class right before lunch, and my friend Vernon turns around to me and says, hey, what are you doing after school today? I'm like, nothing. He's like, why don't you go talk to the Marine Corps recruiter with me? I'm like, man, Vernon is really looking out for his brothers. And Vernon was just looking for people to join so we can get promoted out of boot camp. So I'm like, all right. So in retrospect, but I'm glad Vernon turned around to me, because he said, let's go talk to the Marine recruiter. And I said, hey, great. So I went and talked to the recruiter, and like that Friday, I enlisted in the Marine Corps for 6 years. I knew that I wasn't ready for college. I was a decent high school student, maybe B's and C's. So, but I knew that the classroom environment wasn't for me. I had actually checked out some trade schools. I looked at an automotive school in Utah, and just nothing seemed to really want, like, fit what I wanted to do. Then talking to the Marine Corps recruiter, you know, he's sitting there in his dress blues, you know, looking all pretty basically, and you're enamored by the uniform. But then he talks to you about, like, what do you want to do? Like, what are your goals in life? And, you know, we talked about that, and I just felt that the Marine Corps was a great fit. And then before I knew it, my first 6 years was up. I enlisted for another four. And then I myself went and did a tour of recruiting duty. I volunteered for drill instructor duty and embassy duty, but my MOS was short-staffed. So the only way I could go out on a special duty is if I went recruiting. So I volunteered for recruiting duty. I did a tour of recruiting duty in Southern Indiana. And for 3 years, I told my applicants about all these great military benefits that we have, you know, medical, dental, education. And then it dawned on me, like, well, dummy, you've never used any of your education benefits. So as soon as I got off recruiting duty, I went back to Camp Pendleton and I enrolled into Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. And, you know, they working with the educators there, they evaluated my military transcripts. I started off with a bunch of credits since I'd been in the Marine Corps at that point, almost 13 years. Within 2 years, I got my bachelor's degree, and I said, well, I might as well push for my master's. And then about another year and a half later, taking school, even while on deployment, if possible, I finished my master's degree. So at that point, I'm like, man, I'm going to advocate now for our enlisted side. You know, the military has great, smart officers. So I'm like, well, we need to have great, smart enlisted to advise those officers. So I definitely was, I pushed my Marines to get their college as much as I can. Obviously, it's harder for the newer military members. You know, they've got their job to learn. They're still adjusting to the military. But as you get older, it's important to take those college classes if that's the route you want to go, because there's a lot of veterans out there and the job market is tight. But having that, you know, that veteran status is important. But if you can say, hey, I've got the education to go with it, it makes you even more employable.
I love that all of that came from your following your own advice and realizing that there was something you could take advantage of. And I especially appreciate how you've paid that forward to your Marines. And I think it is so powerful to be able to get education for free or subsidized from the military. And it's great that you're paying that forward to others. Could you take us through a little bit what your transition was like out of the Marine Corps and what that first job search was like?
Well, so what had happened, I was at Camp Pendleton and I had done back-to-back deployments with 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines. So the Marine Corps says, you got to go somewhere non-deployable. It's your time to rotate. So my list of choices weren't very big. There was a couple reserve INI spots on the East Coast, and then Fort Leonard Wood was an option, which Fort Leonard Wood, also they joke about it, calling Fort Lost in the Woods, because it is literally kind of in the middle of nowhere. And it's in the southern, well, south of where I'm at now in Missouri by about 2 hours. But it's an Army base, but it has a lot of joint training. The Marine Corps has four schools down, at least four schools at that time. So I ended up going to Fort Leonard Wood. And I was there for about a year. And in that time, I went to several retirement ceremonies. And then the key thing that I took away was every time somebody retired, they said, I want to thank my significant other for raising our children. And it dawned on me, like, that might be something I would say if I continue to stay in. Because at the time, when I retired, my youngest daughter, or my oldest daughter, I think she was 11, just turned 11. And I thought, well, I had just missed almost 2 years out of their life through back-to-back deployments. So I made a decision to retire at 22, because I would have been in 30 years, actually this year. Like my retirement ceremony, I'm looking at the date. So my retirement ceremony was 8 years ago, this coming Sunday. So it goes by fast. But the opportunity to retire, I did it really because I wanted to watch my kids grow up. I didn't want them to go through more deployments. And I'll talk about that on the show. You'll see the emotion when it comes to talking about saying goodbye to your children for deployment. And I think all military service members understand what that feeling's like. So I thought I was ready to retire. You know, I got my master's degree. I was in aviation. Had a diverse background, recruiting duty, time in the infantry, my time with my various companies out of Fort Leonard Wood. I was with the motor transport company and the construction engineer company, senior enlisted. I thought I was really ready to retire. And then, bam, the job market. I applied, I think, to about 60 to 70 different jobs. When I retired, I would keep a spreadsheet basically when I applied to a company, the date I applied. Out of those 60 to 70 companies I applied for, I got 5 interviews. And then out of those 5 interviews, I only got 1 follow-up interview. And so that interview was with a company out of Illinois. So they actually paid for my travel and the family. We traveled up to just south of Chicago for the weekend. Then the interview was that following Monday. They paid for everything, the hotel, food. And I thought, wow, this is great. And then their selection process continued for another 3 weeks. And then after about a month, I got an email saying, sorry, you weren't selected. I'm like, wow, that is, that's definitely that. What that taught me was don't put all your eggs in one basket. So it was disheartening. But I had I was going to as many career fairs, as job fairs as I could, that Fort Leonard Wood was hosting. And then one day I stepped up to the Lowe's table. They had Lowe's Home Improvement had a table, and their HR manager was a retired Sergeant Major that I had met. He had retired from the Marine Corps from Fort Leonard Wood before I got there. But I had met him as the former Sergeant Major. And he said, dummy, why don't you apply to Lowe's? I'm like, well, what can I do at Lowe's? He's like, well, you need to expand your thinking. He said, what do you do as a senior enlisted Marine? And, I laid it out. He's like, look up what HR manager does. So I'm like, okay. So I did. And a lot of it was paralleled. So I applied to Lowe's. And then a few days later, the area HR manager for the area that I applied for called me, asked if I was interested in an interview. I said, absolutely. So I drove up to Warrensburg, Missouri, spent a day kind of looking around, went to the Kansas City area, did the interview, and secured the position with Lowe's Home Improvement. So I think what the job search taught me was as much as you think you're ready, it doesn't hurt to be over-prepared. Also be prepared for disappointment when you're transitioning, because the dream job that you think is out there for you, 20 other veterans want that job as well. The job market's tough. There's a lot of veterans out there that are just as equally qualified as you. So the company has, I won't say a lot of options, but they have a very refined process. And then if you don't make the first cut, don't get disappointed. Keep trying. But I put my resume out to almost any company. If it was a job that I really wanted to do, that is. But, I found 60 to 70 different positions that I thought I was qualified for. Like I said, I got 5 interviews and then, just the 1 follow-up interview. So
There's so much I love about all of that. First of all, I appreciate hearing your story of the reason for transitioning out of the Marine Corps. And I think that for listeners, I think that's an example of we all are unique in our aspirations and our families and where we're at in life. And seeing that that was the right time for you to switch gears and show up for your family in a different way, I think that's perfect, a perfect example. And then, you know, from my standpoint, I've done a tremendous amount of sales and sales work. And so when I hear your HR or your job search story, I always put it in a sales funnel perspective. And I'm hearing it and thinking like, well, yeah, that makes about sense. You apply to 60 jobs, you get 5 interviews, and then maybe one of them goes forward and then that doesn't even work out. And I think it's good for especially those who are recently transitioned out of the military or on active duty to adopt that mindset that Murph is talking about there of like, it is a numbers game, and it may be surprising to think of a 60-5-1 ratio, but that's probably pretty representative. And I love that you said not putting your eggs in one basket. And I can think of different times in my career when I thought a deal was going to go through and I backed off on other things. And it's really built up this muscle of like, until the deal is signed on paper, I'm 100% on everything else. And I think the same applies for job search is like, until you are starting even in that job, just really going full throttle. Because I've even heard stories of people where an offer was rescinded or there was coronavirus hit and then something was pulled away. And so never backing down until it's there. I think that's great advice.
And I think, and once you find your job, you know, if it's your dream job, but if you think there's still other opportunities, it doesn't hurt to still continue to apply or at least keep your resume up to date. Because what happened about last year, Lowe's Home Improvement made the decision to eliminate the HR position from their stores. So I was given a lot of notice, actually 2 years ago. So 2 Octobers ago, Lowe's Home Improvement pulled all the HR managers together throughout the whole United States and said, hey, unfortunately, with the new direction the company's going, we're eliminating the HR role. So I was like, wow, now I'm on the job search again. I was working on the resume again. I was always trying to keep it up to date. You know, when I did more training, I would add it or I would update my years of experience with Lowe's. And then the opportunity came up. I knew about my center here that I'm at now because as the HR manager at Lowe's, Lowe's is definitely a veteran-friendly company. So we do a lot of hires in the spring. So I would bring my job postings to the center where I'm at now, looking for veterans. So I knew about this center. I didn't really know the scope of everything they did, but I had a good idea. And then about the time I was looking for employment, the former director here took another position at the local Air Force base, and just perfect timing. I ended up starting here July 1st of last year, with my last day of Lowe's being July 13th. So I took vacation days at Lowe's, my last 13 days there, so I could start here on time.
That's awesome. I think that's great too. Just always, you know, always thinking of what could be next. I think of all the people I've interviewed who faced an unexpected transition from the military due to injury or family circumstances. And that's kind of cultivated this thought of like always being ready, even if you think you're not going to transition for 20 years, always being ready. But when you say that about your own civilian career, it makes me realize that too, of like always being ready for an unexpected transition. It does lead in, I wanted to ask about, you know, I said at the start, you're the Director of Military and Veteran Services at the University of Central Missouri. I'm just curious if you could share a little bit more about that role and also insights, because I imagine, you know, given your background and your current role, you've seen a lot. So any advice you'd give to our audience about their career search or transition or anything that might be relevant?
Yeah, I would say, so what my center does here is I have a few people that work in the office. They're called certifying officials. So when a veteran or a veteran family member. So anybody that's using any kind of state tuition assistance, federal tuition assistance, any version of the Montgomery GI Bill or post 9/11, they come through the center and those two individuals certify their benefits. So, and they help them with the process of working with the VA to get those benefits certified. So they get their housing stipend, their tuition paid. So my center provides those services through the certifying officials. Plus we just provide a place for veterans to hang out. We have computers for them to use, a conference room, you know, coffee. We get coffee from a lot of veteran organizations for free. They just ship us coffee. We just try to provide a good atmosphere for veterans and family members to hang out. We also invite non-traditional students to come in as well. We do veteran service projects where we send a group of, half the group is veterans, the other half is traditional students, and they go out and work on the Appalachian Trail for several days. And they have bonding exercises that they do, and it really breaks down the barrier. You know, you have a traditional student that says he or she's just a grumpy old veteran. And then you have the veteran looking at the traditional student saying they don't know anything, they haven't been anywhere. So the doing the trip really breaks down a lot of barriers. And it's been really good for the university. This is something that was started before I got here. Our trip this year to the Appalachian Trail unfortunately got canceled due to coronavirus, because we had just started another one this year to go to Colorado. So we're going to take two groups, but unfortunately both got canceled this year, but we have plenty of volunteers for next year. But I would say for the veteran that is retiring, I would say that if you're close to retiring, I hope that you started some school. We do have retirees that do come to college after they retire. And the biggest thing I hear them say is, man, I wish I would have started this when I was still on active duty. Because what they're telling me is they feel like they're behind their peers, because their peers have already secured jobs, where some of these veterans are telling me, you know what, I would have probably had that job that I really wanted if I would have had my degree already. And to the veteran that, you know, is thinking about making a career, like I would say, start your education as soon as possible, at least get some classes in. And to the veteran that serves, you know, their first enlistment and decides to transition out, take advantage of your benefits. I have a lot of first term veterans that come through the center. You know, some of them take classes full time, part time, but you earn those benefits, so you might as well use them. But, and just not college either, trade schools. I just talked to a Marine that was in 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines with me. He found me on Facebook and we just got to chatting. And he's like, you know what? I use my benefits to get my CDL license. And because of that, I was able to get custody of my kids because I had a steady income. You know, he had a bad breakup, but he has custody of his kids and he didn't lose any income due to the quarantine or anything like that because of his job, but he used his military benefits to pay for his education for his CDL license.
That's great. I mean, I think that, first of all, when you were describing the environment with the free coffee and all of that, the image that came to mind for me was the USO and how great it was when traveling to feel like there was this safe corner to just kind of relax and be taken care of. And I love that sense for, you know, the University of Central Missouri, but in general of when you're in a new environment, having the familiarity of other people with shared values, shared backgrounds, shared history, and having a place to connect. And I love that you also introduce the diversity as well of just kind of bringing in contrasting characters to learn from each other. I think that's really powerful. And I appreciate in your story how you're, again, showing the importance of education, whether someone has served for 20 years or for 3 years, really getting the full benefit of educating, the credibility that brings, but also the energy that brings of learning something new and being exposed to something new. I think your story really is a powerful example of that.
Thank you. Yeah, we actually have a few veterans that are like retired as in like they don't work at all. They're like, well, I have benefits. I'm going to learn something new. So they just take classes that they think give them a little extra knowledge and something they could have fun with. So, but I would say for the average veteran that we have here, they're definitely looking to go out and get other employment. And like I said, I don't want to sell anybody on college, because obviously when I got out of the Marine Corps or when I was in high school, I knew college wasn't for me. But those benefits can be used for a whole lot of things. You know, we have a police academy here at part of UCM. We have a lot of veterans that use their benefits to go to the police academy. So, I mean, there are academies like that that you can use your benefits for. But I would say if you want to make yourself marketable, then take advantage of those. I mean, you're a veteran. A lot of companies look for veterans because they know that you have the leadership ability. They know that you can be organized on time. You've proven that by your service, but the education is just a plus. You know, I call sometimes a diploma a certificate of dedication. It shows that employer that you dedicated enough of your time and your efforts to get that document. Because my job has nothing to do with my degree. So, but they know that I did sacrifice my time to get that certificate of dedication, if you will.
That's great. I've never heard that before. I'm just jotting that down. I think that's a great perspective. Let's switch gears just a little bit. And I want to talk about CBS's show, Tough as Nails. First of all, just to set the stage for some of our discussion, how would you describe the show?
I would describe the show as, let's say, so for the military's perspective, let's say that you got orders to go to a unit that's deploying within a month. So you're like, okay, so it's high tempo, high speed. You've got to get to know everybody really, relatively quickly. You have to get to know people's strengths and weaknesses. You have to overcome a lot of maybe objectives at a fast rate of time. So I would say from the military's perspective, it was almost like getting ready to go on deployment at a short minute's notice, getting to know a group of 11 other people, getting to know the way things are set up, done, rules, like whatever the case might be. That's kind of what it felt like in a way.
How did the whole opportunity come about? Like, how does one end up on a TV show?
Well, so long, I never really used Instagram until about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I wanted to continue my fitness journey after I retired. So I continued training like I did when I was in the Marine Corps. And an apparel company reached out to me and said, hey, we'd like to sponsor you. I'm like, well, what does that mean? They're like, well, we'll throw you some gear. You wear it, post to social media, and that's how it kind of works. And they were a relatively new company just starting out. And they're like, well, we prefer Instagram. I'm like, cool. I guess I'll start an Instagram account. So my Instagram, I just use really for my athletics and just for fun stuff. And last January, a gentleman sent me a message saying he's from the Discovery Channel and he'd like to talk to me about a show. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, right? You know, I didn't believe it. He's like, here's my name. So I researched his name and he was a legitimate gentleman. I'm like, wow. So I did some casting with them for a show on the Discovery Channel and didn't hear anything for a while. Then out of the blue in October, he sent me a message and said, hey, I'm not casting for this show, but I think you would be an awesome fit for this show. And the show is called Tough as Nails. And he's like, here's the link to apply. And I said, oh, sure, I'll apply. Well, I applied. And then within a few days, I think within a day, I got a message from the current casting team from Tough as Nails saying, hey, we'd like to do a Zoom interview with you. And then that just led to the next step. I'm not sure about how much of the process I could talk about, but it led to another Zoom call and an invitation, and I accepted to be on the show.
Was this something where did you need to put your job on hold and you were you there like almost on a deployment for weeks or months, or was it something that you were doing? Like how did it integrate with your normal life?
Well, when I got the invitation to come out, I was told I need to be gone for multiple weeks. So I actually scheduled an appointment with the university president and explained to him the purpose of the show and just basically a little bit about the show. I told him about it as much as I was allowed to say, and he blessed off on the trip. And so I was able to take basically leave of absence from work to go out and do the show.
That's awesome. Have you, I have a question, but first I was wondering, have you seen like the edited show? Like have you not seen it yet?
I have. The only thing I've seen is the TV commercials.
Yep.
And then a post that was made on Viacom CBS's Instagram page yesterday. It's the most I've seen of the show.
So one thing I'm wondering about, and it kind of plays into the Instagram work that you've done, but also the show. This is, you know, 350 interviews in with veterans. One of the themes that usually comes up is, I think there's something in most of us, we're hardwired to not want publicity or not put ourselves out there publicly, or, you know, it comes up with veterans maybe underperforming in a job interview because they don't want to boast about themselves. It comes out in networking where veterans talk about it's hard for them to like sell themselves. And I'm just picking up, I'm guessing that like there's some component of both Instagram and being on a show where you do kind of have to sell yourself or you do have to be seen publicly. And so I'm just wondering what that was like for you or any advice you have for veterans who might be a little bit hesitant to put themselves out in a job interview and networking and different environments about how to do that in a way that feels authentic.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm a pretty quiet person. Anybody that knows me, like they're shocked that I even did something like this. I've lived in my neighborhood now for almost 7 years. I really don't know my neighbors. I wave at them, but I don't really, we don't communicate with each other. I mean, I'm nice to them, friendly, but I just like to keep to myself. So it's a little different to do something like this, but just the same, I guess the reason I agreed to do it is because I did the show really because I wanted to prove to myself that I could still bring it to the table. You know, I just turned 48 about a week ago. And, you know, I retired because I wanted to watch my kids grow up. But also, you know, I guess the best way to describe it. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody here at work. And we were talking about jobs, and she's like, "What's your dream job?" I said, "I already did it. I was a Marine. Like, that's my dream job." I didn't want to leave the Marine Corps. I mean, I would have been in 30 years this year. I mean, I love the Marine Corps. I love everything about it. Of course, there's the bad times that you have, but overall, the experience, I mean, it made me who I am today, and I would still be in. I retired because I wanted to watch my kids grow up on and be around the family. So when I wanted, one of the reasons, the main reason I wanted to do the show was to prove to myself that I can still bring it. I can still compete. I can still be productive. I know I do that here at work, but I wanted to do the physical and the mental all at the same time. And the show was a great opportunity just to like exercise a lot of skills I haven't used in 8 years. So when people ask, "Well, would you do it again?" I said, "Absolutely." Like I said, the interview yesterday that I got to see on Instagram, you know, I used the line, you know, I try to live life to its fullest, and doing the show is like a check in the block of life. You know, not many people get the opportunity to do something like this, and I didn't want to turn it down. You know, I've been places overseas and there's opportunity to do something, maybe see something. I'm like, well, let's go see it, because when are we ever going to be back here? You know, when are we going to get that chance to walk through Petra again? Or when are we going to chance to see this part of the world again? So I mean, I try to take advantage of every opportunity, so I didn't really want to let the show pass. So, I mean, I guess the driving force of not wanting to pass up an opportunity is the reason I did the show.
The two things that come through for me on that is first of all, I admire the sense of pushing yourself and finding, you know, nearly a decade out of the military, finding new ways to be at your edge and to be out of your comfort zone and to be challenged and to have that uncertainty of success or failure. I think that's really admirable. But the second thing that comes through to me and just, you know, my external observation is your getting out of your comfort zone and your putting yourself out there on this show. That's a gift to all of us as veterans, because people watching the show may not know what a Marine is like, may not know what a Marine brings to the table. They may not be familiar. You may be one of the first glimpses they have of what a veteran is. And, you know, in some ways, as I'm, you know, for our listeners, you're just hearing this gentle giant Murph, but I'm seeing, you know, he's a very big guy, can be intimidating, but to see the nuance of someone who is bright and intelligent and driven and family oriented and physically strong and resilient, that may reshape a lot of people's view of a veteran. And our listeners may be benefited from that. They may be sitting across from a hiring manager who has seen that show and it's kind of changed their image of a veteran. So I just bring that up for listeners who may, like myself, struggle with that thought of putting ourselves out there or getting out of our comfort zone or taking a risk or doing these things that go against our military programming. There is a way in which in doing that, it's a benefit to all of our brothers and sisters who serve. So I really appreciate that for you, Murph. I can see the ways in which you'd be more introverted and less likely to be on a reality show, which is like the least introverted thing you could do, but it's benefiting all of us.
Well, thank you. It was good. There were times on the show that I looked back at myself. I'm like, oh man, your friends are going to see that and they're going to make so much fun of you. And then at the same time, I look back at some of it and they're going to be like rooting pretty hard for me. So I think it was overall, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's just bittersweet. My youngest daughter, who's 17, you know, her graduation ceremony has been postponed. She was supposed to leave for Navy boot camp the day before the show premieres. But the Navy has pushed it back 7 days. They're still trying to get her to ship to boot camp after her graduation ceremony, which is supposed to be the 25th of July. But right now, she's leaving on the 15th. So we're still keeping our fingers crossed that the Navy can get her boot camp date pushed so she could attend her graduation. But at the same time, I don't want her, she's ready to move on to the next chapter of her life. So that part's exciting to be the veteran on TV and to know that my youngest daughter is going to be a veteran here shortly. So
that's awesome. Is there any, I'm just curious, I know you can't really talk about the specifics of the show, but I was just wondering with your experience, you've probably seen, you know, like all of us, you'd seen reality shows, you maybe had a conception about what that was like. What was surprising for you being part of it? Was there anything that surprised you about that experience or was different than what you expected from having seen these sorts of things on TV?
I would say that getting to know the crew and learning what they do was probably one of my favorite parts. So when you're sitting there or standing there for an interview and you have the interviewer in front of you, then you have the camera operator, then you have the lighting technicians and the audio technicians, and getting to say, hey, why is this board, this white board up here? And they're like, well, that's to reflect the light on your face, or this glare away, or this is why we use this boom that's hanging over your head. And I mean, getting to know all the behind the scenes stuff and getting to know those people was one of my favorite parts of the show. I think what I learned was that, so the first time we walked on set to actually film the first part of the first episode, I walked around the corner and there's a gazillion people out there. I'm like, holy mackerel, I had no idea like it takes that much. to make a show. I think so. My first impression, because the first several days we're in small group stuff, doing some activities, but that first day of filming, walking on set, it was like, wow, there's a ton of people here. And then getting to know what they do, it was a great appreciation. And some of them were veterans as well, or had family members that were veterans. So it was neat to share those stories with them, getting to know about like what they do, their experiences, what actors they worked with, or what actresses, what bands they worked with, if they were sound or lighting. So it was very cool. Just the whole experience. I walked away with nothing negative to say about the experience at all. Nothing but positive stuff.
That's so awesome. It makes me think of, I think one thing that many veterans may not know about themselves, but it's an observation for me, is like they're really good at getting to know their people. And I love this sense of, I don't know how many people on these shows would take the time to get to know all the thousands of people behind the scenes making it possible. But I love that you were able to do that. And I think it also shows that every industry has millions of moving parts. And you may not even know about these jobs, but there's, you know, unlimited career potentials out there for listeners. And you may not even thought about the sound person on a set, but there's all of these possible jobs. Well, I always like to leave the last question open-ended. And Murph, we've covered a lot of ground around education, around resources, around the university, or University of Central Missouri, and the show Tough as Nails. But I'm sure there's things we didn't talk about. And so I just wanted to make space at the end. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to make sure listeners know before we wrap up?
I would just say, is if you have an opportunity in life, just take advantage of it. You know, don't walk away having regrets that you did or didn't do something. Because I know, like, a lot of times, at least in your military career, you have the opportunity to do something and you don't take advantage of it, then you have to live the rest of your life kicking yourself in the butt, basically. And I know that I would have kicked myself in the butt if I wouldn't have done this show, because if I would have said no, and then when I saw it on TV, I'd have been like, oh, man, look at the opportunity you just wasted. So I guess my biggest takeaway would be, with anything in life, if you have the opportunity to do something, even if you're not comfortable with it, give it a shot, because you never know. Like I was never looking to do a reality show. I was never looking to be on TV, but once the opportunity to present itself, you know, and I learned a little bit about it, I'm like, absolutely, I'm going to give it a shot. I mean, I'm going to see myself on screen, and I know there'll be times I'll be shaking my head like, oh man. Or if I see myself crying, which there may be an opportunity for viewers to see that too. Like, you know, I wouldn't trade it, just because it was a good experience. And the people that know me, my friends and family, like, they know that the person they see on TV is genuine. It is just me. So I'm looking forward to the family watching it, and friends, and maybe getting to know a few more people as well.
Hmm. Well, Murph, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the work that you're doing at the University of Central Missouri to help our military community. And for listeners at beyondtheuniform.org and the show notes for this episode, I'll have links to CBS's show, Tough as Nails, more information about that, where you can watch it, as well as a link to Murph's Instagram handle if you want to follow him there, and other resources as well. But thank you so much for your time today, Murph.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Siri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.